Hi, my name is Maithili Deshpande, and I'm a second-year graduate student from the University of Wisconsin-Madison. And today I would like to present the results from my study, Disparities in Access to Asthma Medications in U.S. Adults Aged 50 to 64 compared to 65 and over. We do not have any relationships to disclose. And at this point, I would like to thank my co-authors. I would really like to be thankful to my advisor, Dr. Joshua Thorpe, and Dr. Carolyn Thorpe for their contributions. None of this would have been possible without their guidance and support. And I would now like to begin the presentation with the background for the study. So asthma is a chronic lung condition that currently affects an estimated 22 million Americans. And since asthma cannot be cured, the goal of any asthma therapy is to control the disease. And according to the National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute's expert panel report, one of the four components of asthma control includes the use of long-term controller medications like Advair and some rescue medications like albuterol. Previous studies have demonstrated that access to these medications reduces the need for hospitalization, reduces mortality, and increases the quality of life. Race and gender-related disparities in access to asthma medications are also well documented. However, age-related disparities are quite understudied. Little is known about disparities in access to asthma medications in late midlife adults and whether these disparities persist in older adults. Late midlife adults, which is 50 to 65 year olds, are more prone to chronic illnesses than their younger counterparts. Access to care for this population has been under a lot of debate recently, since this population is rapidly increasing, has considerable health issues, and is more likely to lose employer-sponsored health benefits, but is not yet eligible for Medicare benefits. Medicare Part D, which is the prescription drug benefit plan, is available for the 65 and over population, but not for the late midlife population. The 50 to 64-year-olds, hence, may have lesser access to medications, and therefore our aim is to examine age-related disparities in access to asthma medications in late midlife and those in older adult populations. So accordingly, the research questions for this study include if there are disparities in access to long-term controller asthma medications in late midlife, if there are disparities in overuse of rescue asthma medications in late midlife, and if these disparities in late midlife are similar to those found in older asthmatic population. We use the Anderson's behavioral model for analyzing access to asthma medications. This model has evolved over the years and has grown to incorporate healthcare system and external environment factors and their effect on health behavior. For this study, I will concentrate on predisposing, enabling, and need characteristics and how they affect access to asthma medications. The predisposing factors are biological imperatives like demographics or social structure that suggest the likelihood that people will need or use healthcare services. Enabling factors are those variables which facilitate healthcare use when care is needed. These include community and personal level enabling resources. And lastly, the medical need factors, which are typically associated with the patient's perceived or evaluated need for healthcare. The data for this study came from the 2006 and 2007 Medical Expenditure Panel Survey. MEPS is conducted to provide nationally representative estimates of healthcare use and expenditures for the civilian, non-institutionalized United States population. During the household interviews, MEPS collects detailed information for each person in the household on the demographic characteristics, health conditions, health status, use of medical services like medications, and health insurance coverage, among other variables. We identified 1,305 self-reported asthmatics who were 50 years and over in age. So based on the Anderson model that I previously described, our independent variables are the predisposing factors, which were age, sex, race, and ethnicity, enabling factors, which included poverty status, country, the region of the country they are from, the metropolitan statistical area, the education, and marital status. Medical need factors included the PCS and MCS scores, comorbidities which were available in the data set, as well as smoking status of the patient. Now, for the dependent variable based on the NHLBI guidelines, we examined the likelihood of currently using a long-term controller medication. It's a yes or no question, and is essential to have a long-term controller medication for good asthma control. And then next, we looked at overuse of rescue inhalers, which indicates poorly controlled asthma. These were self-reported in the household component file of MEPS. And then finally, we ran all these analyses using MEPS prescribed medication files, which includes the actual prescribed data for each patient, and we found the results to be consistent with the self-reported outcomes. Moving on to the analysis, we used descriptive statistics, including means and frequencies of the sample. Multiple logistic regression was used to estimate likelihood of obtaining a long-term controller medication and overuse of rescue medication, adjusting for predisposing, enabling, and need variables. With less than 10% of the data missing, conditional mean imputation was done to generate a complete data set. And point estimates were weighted, and variance estimates were adjusted for complex sampling scheme using Stata. So our final sample consisted of 1,305 self-reported adult asthmatics. About 58% were aged 50 to 64, and 42% were 65 years and over. The mean age was about 64 years. 67% of the sample was consisted of women. Overall, about 40% of the population received a long-term controller medication, and 15% reported overusing a rescue medication. Here's a distribution of the two age groups for gender and race ethnicity. Looking at gender, the percentage of women was higher in both the age groups, and race ethnicity was similarly distributed in both age groups, with maybe slightly higher percentage of African Americans in the 50 to 64-year-old age group. So moving on to the unadjusted results for prescribed medications, looking at the long-term controller medications, you will see that 50 to 64-year-old African Americans were significantly less likely to obtain preventive medications than whites. However, this disparity is not seen in older adults. And for overuse of rescue medications, you will see that 50 to 64-year-old African Americans were also significantly more likely to overuse acute relief medications than whites. And again, this disparity is not seen in 65 years and over population. And although not significant, the odds ratio for Hispanics suggests that these are less likely to obtain preventive medication and more likely to overuse rescue medication regardless of what age group they are in. So we adjusted the models for predisposing, enabling, and need variables. And as we can see, 50 to 64-year-olds, African Americans were still 38% less likely to obtain any long-term controller medication than whites. And again, this disparity is not seen in older adults. In Hispanic population, both the groups showed higher likelihood of overusing acute relief medication than whites. Here's another way of looking at the adjusted model. Predicted probabilities based on the logistic regression model were calculated for the dependent variable. And the predicted probability of 50 to 64-year-old African American being on a long-term controller is 25%, while that of an older adult is 44%. And then for overuse, the predicted probability of 50 to 64-year-old Hispanics overusing acute medications is 22%, while that in older adults is 28%. A couple of other predictors which were worth noting were that 50 to 64-year-old men were less likely to obtain a long-term controller than women. And 50 to 64-year-olds living in less urban area were more likely to overuse acute medications compared to those living in more urban areas. And both of these trends were not observed in older adults. So to summarize, 50 to 64-year-old African Americans are less likely than whites to obtain a long-term controller even after controlling for predisposing, enabling, and need variables. And although not significant, point estimates of Hispanics in both age groups suggest that they are less likely to obtain long-term controllers than whites. Similarly, for overuse of rescue medications, the disparity in Hispanics in 50 to 64-year-old age group remains even after controlling for all the variables. And finally, although not significant in the adjusted model, 50 to 64-year-old African-Americans are more likely than whites to overuse acute medication. This could probably indicate that due to lesser access to preventive medication, African-Americans are probably opting to overuse cheaper acute relief medications to control their asthma. Our study has some limitations which need to be acknowledged. Because this was a non-experimental study, we cannot conclusively determine the causes of healthcare utilization. The self-report data accuracy cannot be verified. However, we did look at the prescribed medication file and the results were still consistent with what we found with self-report. And disease severity may not be adequately captured in this data. And lastly, this study is unable to distinguish whether providers failed to prescribe asthma medications or whether the patient was prescribed the medication and failed to fill that prescription. Now, for future research, there are clear racial disparities in both age groups for African Americans and Hispanics. Future research should explore the reasons for these disparities within the specific age groups. Secondly, research should also explore reasons for medication disparity by including covariates from our study and expanding to assess factors such as physician compliance with guidelines, patient-provider communication, patient adherence, and patient beliefs. In conclusion, despite the many remaining questions, it is clear that asthma management differs by the age group. Based on our findings, efforts to eliminate age-related disparities in asthma care will have to go beyond economic barriers and incorporate individual and system-level barriers also. Until these are understood and addressed, it is likely that age-related disparities in asthma care and health outcomes will persist. Thank you.